listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dogtown, be sure to tune in to News Channel 5, the new TV home of the Cleveland Browns, every Sunday for Browns pregame coverage starting at 11 with Inside the Cleveland Browns. That's got my man Matt Wilhelm filling in this week for Dustin Fox alongside Sarah Carnes. And then at 11:30, it is Browns Countdown live from Dog Pound Drive. Myself, Andy Baskin, Dave Zastidil, getting you ready for the Browns and the Cardinals. We're going to go back to the phones right now. We've got Charles in Euclid. Charles, welcome to the show.
How you doing, fellas? Appreciate you taking my call.
You got it, man.
You got it.
I got a question if I want you guys to tell me if I'm wrong. I think it's fundamentally flawed that the Browns want to be a running team when you have wide receivers that are under 180 pounds. You can't block safeties and linebackers with 180-pound wide receivers. Makes no sense. So Farmer fundamentally made the team flawed to begin with. If you can't run the ball and you have small receivers, you can't have an offense, period. Another problem I have is Alex Mack is not playing like a Pro Bowl center. Nobody seemed to be commenting about his play. I watch him every game. In every game, he's getting blown back into the quarterback. Every game. I don't know what happened to him since his injury, but he looks soft. He looks not strong. The whole line looks weak. We have no beef on either side of the line. I look at the other teams. I see these guys out there, huge guys, muscular, aggressive, beasts. We have a bunch of soft guys on our team. We play like a soft team. Everybody on the team is soft other than Whitner, but he doesn't have the speed to be the hit man that he used to be. Tell me if I'm wrong, and I'll just listen.
I don't think you're wrong. Certainly Alex Mack, I think, is struggling. I think that is not a secret anymore. When you watch the tape, he is having a rough season and coming back from that broken leg. As for your first point about the wide receivers, now Pro Football Focus, again, I don't know, put much stock into their grades, but there's something to this, at least directionally speaking. Of the 107 receivers that they've graded for run blocking, the Browns have three of the bottom 17 at wide receiver.
Are those our starting three?
Hartline, Benjamin, and Hawkins.
Okay.
Taylor Gabriel is the only one that's graded slightly, is a little bit positive. Let me ask you, he's a linebacker. I mean, I know at some point your receivers help the run game when you want to hit chunk plays. For example, if you go back and watch the Turbin run, if Hawk had gotten that block down the field, maybe he scores a touchdown there.
Right.
But that's not what's keeping us from getting 4 yards of carry.
No, it's absolutely not. But that's a point that I was going to make, and I'm glad you referenced, you know, those statistics, because that is the difference between a play going for 20 or 50. And simply when I say blocking, it's not blocking like we've been taught as kids, like head down, hands, you know, at 10 and 2, steering, you know, driving the car and blocking a guy. We're talking about getting in their way, you know, occupying them so that you let Turbin, Duke Johnson, Isaiah Crowell run by an arm tackle as they try to latch off that block or being occupied to make a tackle with a running back and a head of steam, you know, probably at a bad angle as well. So I do think, and the only reason I say this is because, you know, doing Buckeye Game Day and covering Ohio State, you can't play as a wide receiver. And that's why Braxton Miller disappeared for a while as a focal point in that offense for about 3 or 4 weeks. And yeah, the opponents were bad. But Braxton Miller disappeared because in practice and after some poor game performances, he wasn't blocking in the run game.
Right.
And why was Evan Spencer, and I'm not trying to turn this to Buckeye Daily, but why was Evan Spencer, who caught 12 balls for 250 yards, so highly regarded by every teammate and Urban Meyer throughout that college football playoff run, just like Cardale Jones, because he was the key to Ezekiel Elliott, you know, running
those
for 750 yards in 3 football games, because he was down the field, locking a guy up within the rules and creating space for Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah. And when you go back and you do watch it, if you are somebody who does watch the tape, when you watch chunk runs, look at the blocking down the field, and that is where the wide receivers come in. That's where guys like Brandon Marshall so good. Des Bryant was so good at it
there
in Dallas, and it's a commitment to it. And if you do watch that Robert Turbin run, now Andrew Hawkins tried to front the guy up and then tried to take out his legs and missed,
right?
And it was able to tackle. But if he does get that block, that's a touchdown.
Right, and you talked about it just a little bit there. A lot – size in some cases matters to a certain extent, but it's the effort – that innate ability to understand that every time we run the football, this could pop for a touchdown. If you have that mentality and your approach, the effort you put in to get in someone's way, occupy them, because for all I know, that runner could come steaming by me any play now is paramount to creating those chunk runs. You look at Travis Benjamin on the fumble. That screen that we threw to Taylor Gabriel is a run play. That's expected to get 5 to 7 yards. It's an extension of our run game.
Yeah.
And Taylor and Travis Benjamin did what? Whiffed on his block, got his guy crushed, and patted his chest as the other guy runs for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Because effort. Angles and effort.
And execution, ultimately. You can have the best effort and be the best, most well-intentioned guy, but if you can't get the job done, it's not going to matter. The interesting thing about it is the Browns, in terms of their run blocking, you know, I think they're struggling all over the place at every position run blocking, especially you look at the tight ends for the Browns who are, you know, Gary Barnage having one heck of a season, don't get me wrong, but he is, in terms of, again, this is just directional grading. I don't agree necessarily with Pro Football Focus's grades, but it's just directional. Tight ends, Cleveland Browns, they graded 64 tight ends on run blocking. Jim Dre is 56th, Barnage is 60th. So, again, it's just directional.
I understand.
But it is not. It doesn't seem to be positive. And we've seen, especially with all the gifts that are going around from this week, where Betonio was absolutely blown up. We saw the one where Alex Mack was absolutely blown up, where gaps were shot, where guys were getting penetrating untouched into the backfield. Too often, and really the stat that says it all, is Isaiah Crowell is hit for a loss or zero on 30% of his carries. That's not on the running back.
That Le'Veon Bell couldn't do.
Adrian Peterson is up there.
Couldn't be productive with that. Shady McCoy can't make enough guys miss consistently when you're getting hit in the backfield. At some point, there's a matter of trust that needs to be developed between the offensive line and your running back for you to be able to hold your course. And eventually that running back starts running the ball differently, expecting that penetration, expecting that contact behind the line of scrimmage very early. And it changes the way he runs the football.
It certainly does, and it also, it's a comfort and it's a confidence thing, as you talked about, and it's knowing that you can impart your will on an opponent, and right now the Browns don't have that. Speaking of their opponent, the Cardinals, they do have that. They've got the number two running back in the National Football League in Chris Johnson, and I think, you know, I got a great tweet from our guy who always has good, insightful stuff, Disco, where's he at? Steve Mallon at Disco Puma. He says, why do people keep calling CJ2K revitalized? He only had one season with less than 1,000 yards rushing and one less than with 1,400 total yards in his career. Well, it's just because I think you look at the numbers. 2009, he had 2,006 yards, 5.6 a carry. Then he went down to 4.3 a carry, 4 yards a carry. 4.5 in 2012 was actually a very solid season. And then 2013, he was under 4 yards a carry. Last year with the Jets, he rushed for just 663 yards on 4.3 yards a carry, one touchdown. But this year, he's back up at 5.1 yards a carry. And I think that is the biggest reason because he was written off. I mean, this was a guy who was written off.
But you rush for 2,000 yards, okay? Then you come out the next year and say you're going to break the rushing record. And you're limited to, what, 1,100 yards, which is about 50% of what you claimed you were going to do.
1,360, then 10, 50,
right.
Then 12,
of course 40, people are going to write you off.
Well, and it's just a decline. You're looking at, you know, since 2012, it was a long time since he really had a good season. 2013 wasn't that impressive of a season, given the amount of times he touched the ball. 2014 struggled with the Jets. And this is, it is, I'll call it maybe not a revitalization, but a rejuvenation for Chris Johnson this year, who seems to be turning back the clock a little bit. The last time he averaged 5.1 yards a carry was 2009. So that is a pretty significant amount of time.
And they've already had their bye, and what's he on pace for? Roughly 350 carries and, what, 1,500 yards?
No, they haven't had their bye yet. So he's got 111.
Oh, it's next week. Sorry, you're right.
He's got 567 yards. So, yeah, he's on pace for probably 1,200 yards. The thing that's crazy to me about it is that when you look at him as a running back, and I'm talking about Chris Johnson, let's not forget, in game one, he had 10 carries for 37 yards. So these are really six-game totals. He's got
kind of Gurley-esque, is it not?
530 yards in the last six games, 530 yards rushing and 56 receiving. So basically 100 total yards a game over the last six that he has been putting up there. So Chris Johnson, very impressive. We talked about 2009 when he had that big season. The amazing thing about this team is, who are their three studs? You've got Larry Fitzgerald, at wide receiver. Also, John Brown's playing well. And Larry Fitzgerald had a career-high 13 touchdowns in 2009. He's already got six this year in seven games, so he's on that pace again. Chris Johnson is seemingly on a 2009 pace. And then you've got their quarterback, Carson Palmer, who was in 2009. Let me pull up Carson Palmer real quick. I mean, it's amazing when you think about the turning back the clock that's happening with these three guys. In 2009, Carson Palmer threw 21 touchdowns. That wasn't his best year in Cincinnati, but he was coming off of the injury. It was his first season really back after that injury. Amazing to me that these guys, these veterans, all, you know, we make a lot, do we not, about the age of Josh McCown?
Yes.
Carson Palmer, born
35.
Born in 1979.
36.
Yes, he'll be turning 36 this December.
I have a link to Carson Palmer simply because he was the number one overall pick in my draft class.
Number one pick in your draft class. Okay.
2003.
Larry Fitzgerald, 32 years old. These guys are turning back the clock a little bit. And running backs, Chris Johnson is not quite that old yet, but he's 30.
Right.
Which for a running back
is... That's wear and tear on a running back.
And for this is a guy who comes in with, you know, 2,000 career carries. And these guys are getting it done, not to mention the infusion of John Brown, who I think is a fine receiver out of Pittsburgh State, a very small school. He came out as a rookie and did a very good job, 696 yards, five touchdowns, 14.5 catch. Well, in seven games this year, he's already at 562-3. He's a guy averaging over 100 yards receiving the last four games, got two touchdowns. Michael Floyd is finally kind of back from his injury. He scored each of the last 2 weeks. So this is a team with a lot of talent at the skill positions. Their offensive line is playing very, very well. Chris Johnson averaging 5 yards carrying. We know that Carson Palmer's only been sacked 10 times.
Iupati
from the 49ers.
He's a beast.
And their line's doing great. Way to go, 49ers. But it's interesting just to see these guys turn back the clock on a team that is very, very good at skill positions, very good up front, and then they've got a very good defense on top of it that's got a playmaker at all three levels of the defense.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And the reason why I named Mike Iupati, because I have a link to him as well. In San Francisco, I've talked about the Mike Singletary training camp where we wanted to be the toughest team in football, and we would do Nutcracker for the first 20 minutes of practice, which is basically linebacker. Similar, but linebacker lines up across from guard, and a whistle blows, and you just, boom, it's like a battle of leverage. So you're giving up 80 pounds on a 325-pound guard, and you're just hitting each other in the face for 20-minute sessions for the first five practices of double days. So 40 minutes a day for 5 days in a row. You would just hit a guard in the face as hard as you can and try to battle for leverage. And Iupati happened to be the guy I was going against consistently.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, I got a concussion. But, hey, whatever. We were tough.
Toughest team in the land. All right, when we come back, we're going to go around this great league of ours, the National Football League, when Matt Fontana joins us to take us on that trip around the National Football League. CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.